Good evening, everyone. Welcome to session two of Wow Wednesday, your evening edition for the working woman, for the woman who's out the door early in the morning and 9 a.m. is too soon, so you always listen on replay. And the evening, this is your opportunity to come home. Hopefully it's time for you to relax. Or if you're still working and doing your thing, it's time for you to plug in to information, education, inspiration that keeps you moving and keeps you going. And I'm so excited tonight because on behalf of myself, Trish Carr, and my sisters, Susan Winner and Nancy Matthews, it is a pleasure to have on our show tonight a guest of, who is just so much fun and is so amazing. I was lucky enough to meet this man. It feels like we've known each other for a really long time, Daryl, but it was only 6-8 months ago, and I feel like you've been in my life and made such a difference, and I'm so happy to bring you to our community tonight. So let me tell you a little bit about Daryl W. Gurney. He is a life changer. He's a licensed spiritual counselor, a consultant, a career advisor, and an executive coach. And he's been supporting people in all walks of life for a long time, over 28 years. And his clients play bigger, perform at peak levels, and create thriving lives and thriving professional lives in their businesses as well, and make empowered career and life transitions. He's the founder of, I love the name of this company, The Back 40. And the other one, CareerGuy.com, and he's written several books, edited professional journals on the topic of finding one's passion, pursuits of purpose in midlife, effective relationship building, and career transition. He's been endorsed by a lot of the luminaries that you know, like Harvey McKay, Dr. Ivan Meisner of BNI fame, Michael Beckwith, who many of our community has seen, Cynthia Kersey, just to name a few. So, Daryl, I know you're on a mission, and with your newest work, The Back 47 Critical Embraces for Life's Radical Second Half, I love that, it's an inspirational guide and a companion for designing a fulfilling second half of life. So, Daryl, welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here. And you mentioned we've known each other 6 months, but that's just this lifetime. That's why you feel like you've known me longer. Right.
I know. It's the truth. You know, it's funny reading your bio. I mean, you're totally accomplished, but it doesn't get to the heart of who you are. Like, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Daryl and his woman, Alexandra, who many of you met, she was a guest on the show, and she talked about how she loves her wrinkles. And Daryl and Alexandra are the poster children for what a great romantic relationship can be about. I was so in awe of how much in love you are with each other and how you showed it. And it, you know, your bio doesn't say anything about who you are as a father, you know, that you co-parented your now adult son from, you know, for his whole life. You know, you just have always, you're just such a heart-centered kind of person and what we like to consider, you know, an evolved human. Your bio certainly doesn't say that. So I appreciate you so much, Daryl. Thanks so much for being here.
No, thank you. Thank you. I, we were all blessed last summer to meet, and there's just something about, I'll just share this because I shared it on a call because you bring up me and Alexandra. I shared this on a call last week. That when I had gone through a breakup, and by the way, let's just be clear, Alexandra's been married twice. She was married for 8 years and then 14 years. I was married for 5 years and single for 20 years because I didn't want to go through that again. I didn't want to have that pain again or whatever, you know. But the point is, a good friend of mine, she's actually a minister and she's a prayer partner of mine. She had mentioned to me 4 years ago after I'd gone through another breakup of a relationship, and she had said, you know, Daryl, and I don't say this, there's no ego involved in this, and she just said, you know, you've got a fully orbed masculine, and you have a fully orbed feminine. She said, what you need to find is a woman who's got a fully orbed feminine and a fully orbed masculine, And she chooses to play the feminine, and you choose to play the masculine. And so when you talk about, you know, because we know that we're blessed. It's funny, Alexandra says I'm the biggest yenta she knows, because now that we have experienced what it is to connect with that real partner, you know, that real partner for life, it's like, I want everybody to have that, you know. And so anyhow, thank you for pointing that out about us, because we really do source each other. We really do source each other in a wonderful way that has, you know, we feel blessed, and we feel that we love it, that we're a blessing for others. At that event we were at last summer, you know, people would come up to us and they would just say, you know, watching you two gives us hope. And it's like, you know, that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, it is. It's wonderful. It really is wonderful. And you bring that spirit to everything you do. And, you know, tonight we're going to talk about the back 40. And
yep.
Not everybody knows what that means. So share a little bit about the back 40 and where that comes from.
Well, I'll tell you how it started. I was 40 years old. I was sitting in my meditation chair watching my son sleeping in my bed, because my parents were downstairs sleeping in his bed because they had come into town to lend me more money to fight a $500,000 custody suit. And, you know, at that moment, being totally financially broke, pretty much emotionally broke after 2 years in the family court system, and facing a real uphill climb, I felt pretty much as, you know, much a loser as anybody could feel. And I was really questioning, you know, at 40, do I have anything at all to show, you know, for my life lived thus far? And I'll just call it, you know, a download or whatever, you know, occurs when we, maybe sometimes when you're so at the bottom, you know, all you can do is look up. But I just had this insight that came to me, and it said, it's not what happened in the first half that matters. It's what happens in the second half. That the first half of life is pretty much just R&D, research and development. And what really matters is living into the purpose for which you came in the second half, after the R&D. And so, you know, and I got to tell you, it was like a download. It just kind of came and it was like, wow, you know, that idea alone shifted my spirits. Because, you know, here in our culture, and this goes across the world, I don't know, I think in Chinese culture they have it differently. They actually respect the older wisdom and everything. But mostly our culture says as you get into your 40s, 50s, and 60s, things are going to start going down. You know, your best ingenuity, creativity, your best career, your best relationships, all that stuff's behind you.
Yeah, and as you're 35, I hear 35 is where you start going down.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And what, you know, this whole philosophy as it's evolved out of that initial download basically says that your best is yet to come, kind of like Frank Sinatra sings, you know, the best is yet to come and babe, won't it be fine? And we live that we haven't done what we came here to do yet. And we're really out for turning around this cultural conversation that says it's down and out. We're saying it's up and out. The older you get, you know, the more there is for you to accomplish of what you came here to do. So that's a little snip at what we're about.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's true. You know, people go through, my brother-in-law, Steve, always used to say, you know how old middle age is? I said, how old? He goes, 5 years older than you are at any given time. So it's like, you always think middle age is ahead of you, beyond, you're not there yet. And the truth is, I know people really younger than 30 who are like, question, okay, what am I doing here? What am I supposed to be doing? Is this the thing? Like, I think we question at different times of our lives. So what you're talking about with the back 40 can be, you know, used in any time of your life. But for sure, people who are you know, there's a lot of people now who are younger and younger leaving whatever their career was to do the next thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, well, I've been doing for everybody else, and now it's my turn. What is it I'm supposed to be doing?
Yeah. And it really is. It does across. It does go across the board. You have people who, in their late 20s, I mean, some people have known their purpose all along. I think, though, for the most part, at least my experience and the people that we've worked with and we've had in programs, you know, we come out of high school, we get on this track, we go to college, and we're just kind of running, and not really knowing, you know, our direction. You know, you don't know your purpose. You don't. And most people are just kind of, you know, you get a job and then you get a car, and or you get the car for the job, and then you get married, and then you have kids. And a lot of times people get into their 40s, and it's like a hurricane just passed. The kids are off at college. Some people call that empty nest time. Alexandra calls it free bird time. It's just a different twist. But the point being is, you know, what if that first half was really figuring out who you really are? Because so many times, we're kind of catapulted out into life. You know, our culture, our family, what our parents did, which influences what we do, you know, or what we should be and all this. And I think, you know, that first half is really an opportunity to figure out, what am I really passionate about? What really matters to me? What are my proclivities, my tendencies? You know, I think a lot of times college is just to prove that you can learn. It has nothing to do necessarily with what you're built to do or what you, you know, can do. And so that's why if we take this first half and treat it like R&D and mine it for what we've now learned about ourselves, then real purpose, then real consciously aware purpose can start to shape what comes next.
So how do you do that? Like, how do you figure that out? So you look back on your life. And we've all had ups and we've had downs, no matter how young or how older we are.
Right.
So how do you take that and turn that into the next thing?
Well, the seven embraces, which kind of downloaded at the same time as the title for the book and for our program, the seven embraces are your past, your present, your gifts, your values, your initiation, which some people call midlife crisis, we call it midlife opportunity, your purpose, and then a presence. Now, I can give you a little snapshot of each of those so it makes a little bit of sense. But when you say, well, what do you do? Well, one of the things we say there is to embrace is your past, because so many people carry their past like a weight on them. And if you ask people, why are you the way you are? They'll say, because of this, because of that. My parents, you know, raised me this way, or this happened to me when I was 12 years old, or, you know, and again, yeah, and we don't minimize any of those things. We
it's crazy how we hold on to those things. My first husband did that all the time. Why can't we go fishing? Because when I was 9 years old, my father took me fishing and I fell off the dock and I can't go fishing. I'm like, hello? Like, always reasons for things like that.
Well, it is. And we, even the people like you and me and many, you know, the people that are on your call, you know, people who've done a lot of work, done a lot of consciousness work, right?
Yeah.
You'll still hear the words like completing my past, or finding closure with my past, mm-hmm. or even a higher level is forgiving my past. The only issue with that, Trish, is that every one of those terms still implies that somebody did something to you, which leaves you always at the victim trying to overcome, complete, find closure. One of the processes we do in our program is to actually empower people. Do you know, I just said most people answer a question, you know, why are you this way? Because, you know, everybody has a because. But if you capitalize all of those letters, and then you separate the words, you've got because. And what does that mean? Well, we have a process where we support people to actually start to look back like, well, wow, what if I designed it all? What if who I'm to become is, and the direction to go is all in the formula that was laid out for me in these things that occurred. So, you know, a lot of times people have it and they go around that bad stuff happened to them. Well, what if you had a whole other relationship with that stuff that happened? And so, you know, we have a process where we kind of look at it like mad scientists. What if you were a mad scientist and you had set up a whole experiment? You know, what would you have done it for, and what are the blessings? How are you the way you are today, or what's come out of all of that that occurred that are actual blessings? And what you start to do when you start turning your mind towards that is you become less a victim. And it, we have it that if you can totally own and be not a victim. And again, I know there's some bad stuff that's happened to people on the call here, right? I'm not minimizing the stuff, but to the degree that you can take ownership and come to the place of like, what if this all occurred to set you on the path of your purpose? Then if you can own your past and not be a victim to any of it, then guess what? You've got enormous power to go forth in the future.
Oh, wow. Daryl, that is profound. How you even framed that with completing my past, closure on my past, forgiving my past, all of that. And I hear those terms all the time, and it never occurred to me how it was the responsibility was on someone else, that it was a victim. And wow, that was really, really profound. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Made a difference for me. I mean, when I was sitting in that chair, I was pretty much clear that I was a loser with nowhere to go. And actually, when I wrote the first manuscript of the book, it was really a healing process for me. Just for you to know, I'm in the process right now of writing the bookstore version. So we're gonna get that out in the next few months. We've already been doing programs, you know, working with people on this and seeing the effects that it has on them. But when I wrote it first, it was to heal me. And so, you know, I went through these processes of really starting to own some of that most, you know, impactful stuff that I've carried around in every one of the personal development seminars I've done and still had it that somebody did something to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for that. So that's the past. Tell us about the present.
Well, very often what you consider the present is just the past pretending to be present. Because, you know.
Say that again. That was good.
Well, what we consider the present is generally just the past pretending to be present. You know, patterns, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people on the call know patterns. Why do we attract the same guy? Why do we attract the same work environment? You know, all this. And so embracing your present is accomplished in much of similar way, same process. But in other words, if there's anything right now that you would rather have another way. In other words, if there's anything you got a complaint about right now, then you are a victim to it. And again, you know, the whole first part of this philosophy, the whole first part of this book and our programs is putting you in power versus having the power be outside of you. And so just like you could say you were a victim to something that happened to you at 12, if you've got a living situation or a relationship situation or anything going on right now that's not the way you would have designed it or the way you would have wanted it, the truth is you did design it and you're running a lab experiment here too. I mean, this mad scientist kind of goes on throughout our life running these experiments to give us awareness. You know, we call it, as you work through this process we have, what you come out of it with, is what we call self-expression directives. Mm-hmm. And it's by you know, isolating, like, okay, and I'll tell you, I just rewrote chapter 2 about the present. When I first wrote it in 2008, I used some present stuff that was going on then. Well, that's not relevant to me now. But I had a big issue happening over the last 9 months. And it's so interesting that when I came about to rewriting the book, it was just like, well, hello. And I took this big issue that's been going on for 9 months, worked it through the process, and it's kind of like I am so, like, seeing that I designed that whole thing as an experiment to point me in a direction that I'm now, you know, clear that there is for me to go. So that's the same idea, just pointing it towards our present so we're not a victim to it either. If we cannot be a victim and we can own our past and our present, again, all that power it gives us to design and call the shots on the future.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Love it. Tell us a little bit about gifts.
Well, we all, well, not everyone, but some people went to school, learned a trade, went to college. And, you know, a lot of times we can get into our 40s, 50s, and not really have a clear picture of what are our gifts from life experience or the school of hard knocks or whatever kind of different schools you went to, right? And I think an inventory at midlife or whenever someone's going to go through a change, just like you said, this might apply to someone in their 30s, but really looking to see what are the gifts that maybe didn't come from what you studied. Like, for example, I'm really astute now on the family law system. Not something I ever wanted to study, okay?
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, I have certain gifts and skills, you know? And so we have some different ways of looking at things to get people kind of aware. One of the biggest things for people to do is acknowledge themselves. You know, we're all so damn tough on ourselves, but to get us to really kind of see where we shine, you know, where do we shine, and to let our light shine. Marianne Williamson had a quote about, you know, when you are willing to let your own light shine, it supports others to let theirs shine. So, you know, really getting in touch with at this, you know, midlife or this, time of change, time in life, what are the gifts that you are bringing into this second half? Maybe things that you haven't really inventoried. Same thing goes with values, you know, because I guarantee you, Trish, your values are not the same now as they were 20 years ago, or 40 years ago, you know.
That's true.
And going into a second half without an awareness of what you're What matters now versus old obsolete values like what people think or, you know, how do I look? One of the women that got inspired by our message is kind of taking it on in her own way, and she's creating this whole program and movement around what she calls her little white lie, because at 60, she's been coloring her hair for 30 years.
Oh.
And now she's gonna, you know, let it grow out white. And you mentioned Alexandra, you know, and loving her wrinkles. You know, you wouldn't believe. Now Alexandra is gorgeous. You know that, right?
Yes.
And yet, there's women in her life that have been doing Botox for. And again, I'm not saying anything wrong. Look, everyone makes their choices, and to start coming up with values that might be different than what mattered before, you know, like what people think and all this kind of stuff. And Alexandra is going to really ride this, you know, loving my wrinkles idea as well, because giving women the freedom, you know, to live their authenticity. So anyhow, that's the values aspect.
I love what you're singing.
Love it. And then you said, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to walk you through the other two to give a sense of the what the fifth embrace.
Do that. Yeah, I want to hear those.
Yeah, the fifth embrace we call your initiation. And again, it doesn't, this work doesn't have to apply to just people in midlife or, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. But the initiation is, again, what some people might call midlife crisis. Look, stuff's going to happen in your 40s. Shift is going to happen, okay? Shift is going to hit the fan. But, you know, and you know, stuff happens at all times in people's life. But something about that stuff that hits in the 40s, you know. And so a lot of times people can be taken down by that. I'm sure you or others on the call know people who, you know, either husband ran away with the 20-year-old and got a, you know, Corvette, or, you know, went through a financial crisis, or, you know, there was a death in the family. But people can be taken down and kind of live out of that shaping them for the rest of their life. And so what we say, kind of when you go back to the way we talked about, you know, how you recontextualize your past, if you can recontextualize this, quote, midlife crisis into midlife opportunity, and what if it's your initiation? What if it's your wake-up call for what you really came here to do, right? And it took that bag of bricks, like a $500,000 custody suit, you know, to wake me up to, you know, what really matters and what I'm on the planet for versus whatever the values and, you know, things I was playing for before. So that's what the initiation means, is really taking it as, hey, welcome to the party. This is what you came for. I mean, literally, the second half is what you came for versus, you know, the first half is where all the good stuff happens, and then you just kind of ride it out, right?
Yeah.
And then a purpose kind of falls out of that first work, okay? When we look at the front 40 and we look at your past, your present, and then we do this inventory assessment of your gifts and your values, those self-expression directives that I mentioned, they kind of start pointing. Once you lay them all out, it kind of gets very clear the direction you're to go, the direction, you know, that all of life has been pointing for you in terms of making a difference. And then the last embrace we call a presence, basically, you know, whatever you want to call it, God, universal intelligence, higher power. Marianne Williamson says it doesn't matter what you call it, just make sure you call it. Right. But then with this presence, kind of opening yourself up for this presence to then move through you. You know what it's like, Trish, when things just pop and things start to happen, and it's almost like your way gets paved. And I think when we get clear about the purpose and for what we came for, you know, and we take on this, I call it a kind of a mature spirituality, or, you know, maybe something beyond what we were handed when we were kids. But when we come up with this other relationship or this empowered relationship with a presence working through us, things can happen that, you know, just wouldn't have happened otherwise.
I know it. I know it. And when you take the steps, you make it even that much more powerful. It's amazing what goes on when you just move forward.
Yeah.
It's great. So awesome. That's great. Thank you, Daryl. That's great. And I know that people are going to want to know where they can get in touch with you. I also know that you want to share a gift with everybody, but let me go ahead and get the lines open for some conversation. So I'm going to go ahead and open
the Q&A session started.
And join the conversation. Hit *6 on your telephone and, you know, share your thoughts and what's coming up for you in this conversation. Also, would love to have any questions that you might have. What's going on in the next part of your life? What's your purpose that's coming to you? So, Daryl, tell us a little bit about, I know that you have a very special gift for our listeners tonight.
Well, yes, and it's because of my relationship with you. You know I would do anything for you, and TWSS. But what we put together is We actually have an ebook that's for sale on Kindle, but we set it up for your listeners. People wouldn't just be able to go to the website and see this. So for your listeners, if they go to theback40.com, and that's F-O-R-T-Y, theback40.com/free, F-R-E-E, then we have not only our top 10 tips for a radical second half ebook, but we also have an ebook that we have up on Kindle right now that we brought out a few months ago called The Birth of the Back 40, which gives a little bit more in-depth perspective of how this idea came about and how this philosophy and movement is supporting us and others.
Yes, awesome. Great. So it's theback40.com to get your special gift. And let me see.
Actually, sorry, Trish. It's
the
back
40.
Yeah, theback40.com/free.
Free. Thank you. I had it written down right in front of me. I wrote it down and everything. Yes. Theback40.com/free.
Yep.
Someone who has a question for us. Good evening. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Good. Thank you for holding this session tonight. This actually hits right in the middle of what I'm going through at turning 50 this year. But I'm curious as if we take all of what you had mentioned is that it's our past that is pretending to be present in the present. How do we use that and determine our next path to follow in our back years?
Well, let me give you, and I don't know that we can walk through it all here, but I'll give you a sense of the process that we take people through. First, Christine, and this might even be the toughest part, okay, so at least you get the toughest part over first, is looking to see what the blessings are out of what's going on. So, you know, whatever this challenge is right now, this big thing, you know, very often people will say, well, what? How can there be any blessings in this? Well, the truth is, until you start finding some, you will only be on the victim side, okay? And so sometimes I tell people, well, you may just have to start making it up. But at least you start getting your mind going in that direction. And again, I don't want to put you on the spot here and, you know, have you go through this or share this, you know, necessarily here. But I'll just tell you, that's the first step is amassing the blessings. Like, what has come out of this? What could come out of this, you know, in the future that, you know, wow, you know, that actually could be a pretty cool thing. You know, it's like I'm going a whole new direction now, or I'm, you know, I've learned that, you know, this isn't the way to go, or I don't know what it would be. But first I have people come up with 20 blessings. And yeah, 20 forces you to just keep turning it. And then what you've then done is you've bent your mind towards the possibility at some point that this was all good, that this actually happened. Then what we do, though, is we put on your mad scientist robe, okay? And then you start to look like, and you know, the way the scientific method works, right? And people are doing studies at Stanford and Harvard all the time. They just make up things like, well, what if we take baby monkeys and we separate them from their mothers, and then we have them go to this one that has milk on a wireframe, and we go to that one that has a wireframe, but it's furry and cuddly. What will happen? They just make up things, right? Well, what if you were a mad scientist and you had created a lab experiment here? Now, when you look at those blessings, what might have been the hypothesis you were testing for? You know, you actually look at it like, whoa, what if I designed this? What was I testing for here? And then you look to see how you created the perfect environment for your lab test. How did you pick the perfect lab assistant? And again, this is all theoretical right now. I mean, I could walk through one that I, you know, broke apart about something that happened to me when I was 5 years old, but I picked my dad for that, and he couldn't have been better for that, given his upbringing, given the way he acted and operated in life, and given his influences. He was just the best lab assistant I could have gotten for that test. And the lab environment was the best it could have been, meaning the old South and the way things are done in the South. So, you know, I had something happen to me at 5 years old that I took through this process, and I realized, whoa, did I pick the perfect lab assistants and perfect environment? Then you look to see your hypothesis. What did, you know, now that you can look back at it, or you look at it from a little bit more of an observer's point of view, what do you see are the findings? What do you see are the findings from those hypothetical questions you may have set this lab up for? And then, and again, this is so theoretical, I am probably crazy to be walking you through this, but then from that, you can start to see your self-expression directives. Let me just give you an example. And again, I don't know where people fall on the call here, but I coach a lot of women. I love supporting women to play big games and really express themselves big in the world. I think there can't be enough of that on boards and everywhere else. But some of my clients, you know, had certain impacts from the recent election. And so when we looked at it, though, rather than them feeling, you know, some of them who felt a victim to it, and again, I'm not talking politics here on the call, I'm not going there, I'm just saying that I had them look to see, well, what if they were running a lab experiment? What would they have been doing this for? And what are the self-expression directives that are coming out of it? And I've got several women I'm working with who are using their voice more than they have ever used their voice. They're getting over old, you know, issues that had them be more suppressed and squelched and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really long answer, Christina, or it's Christine. I don't know if you get a sense, though, that there's something hidden in this that is really your ticket to being empowered over it versus a victim to it at all.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So does that make sense to you?
Be honest,
yeah,
Christine.
I'm on the process right now of you know, I'm retired from one, and where do I go from here from the rest of my life? Because I'm too young to just sit back and on the couch watch TV all day. And I still want to be out there. I still want to learn. I still want to grow. And it's one of these things that, well, how do I take my past experiences, my past skills, my past knowledge, my past everything, and put it towards something for the future that's going to give me quality of life, be prosperous, spend more time with my family, you know, the things that we all desire. And that's where I'm at right now is, I'm really good at a lot of different skills and to try and focus and turn everything. And ironically, one of the worst events of my life that happened to me about 10 years ago is actually guiding me towards my next process for the next 50 years of my life.
Oh, and, interesting.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things, though. Do I stay with this, or do I venture off and do my hand at something else that I'm also good at? But the signs, I keep looking for the signs. The signs, the signs, the signs. I keep looking for the signs to...
Well, you know what Zig Ziglar said about the signs? He said, signs always show up, he said, but sometimes they're dressed in overalls and they look like hard work. So here's some advice that I got. When I was 38, I left corporate America, and that was my midlife at 38. And I didn't know what I wanted to do either. I had a nice parachute. I could live a little while and not have to work for a bit. And someone told me to just consider, what do I love to do, whatever that is, and somehow, some way, do it. So if, for example, all my friends used to say I would be great as a running a tourist bus in my town because I'm always so proud of showing people around my town. So volunteering at something like that or finding a job, even if it's $12 or $15 an hour doing that. If you love animals, go work at the Humane Society. If you want to work with kids, go do something with children. Just, like, do the things that you think you love, and you'll find out. And then also, plug into Daryl. What he's doing with the Back 40 is pretty incredible. So make sure that you go to theback40.com/free, and you'll get his 10 tips for life's radical second half and the free ebook, as well as, I'm sure, Daryl, if it's okay with you, you'll also give Christine your newsletter. Is one of the few. I never let my clients use the word newsletter, but I'm going to use it because what you send is so timely and so great. Like today you were talking about the fog can be good. You know how we always talk about there's no clarity and I'm a little foggy. Daryl writes this great stuff about how the fog can be good. So definitely do that, Christine, and plug into it. And then stay plugged into these calls. You know, we're here to support. Go to womensprosperitynetwork.com. Check that out. Make sure you're on these calls, and we have a growth strategy that can help you. So stay plugged in, girl. You're searching. That's awesome.
Trish,
yes.
Can I offer one more thing to Christine? Christine, I probably should have asked you a few more questions before I went into my long diatribe because you said, how do you do that? And it's like, okay, well, here's our formula. But here's the deal. What I hear in you is just like somebody who's been involved in our community now for about 6 months, and she at 50 is going to retire with 25 years under her belt working for one of the municipal governments here. And she's going to be financially fine. And one of the reasons she participated in our work was like, okay, I've got this whole other half ahead of me. What should I do? Okay. And I think what'll be really interesting, if you do plug in and, you know, kind of start reading some of our blogs and stuff like that, one of the things that she most got out of doing our infused program, we do a 3-day infused program where we walk people through these 7, you know, embraces I just mentioned to you. But one of the things that she got was that she has always needed to do everything just right. And her past, and there's a lot of influences that had her where, you know, and she's meticulous and she did a great job working for the city and, you know, she had a big role and all that. But one of the things we've been supporting her to do is to start playing. One of the aspects of the Back 40 is what we call play first. And what that means is that when people get in their second half of life, a lot of times, they don't want to run the risk of looking stupid or making a mistake or, you know, not doing something right, not looking good. You know, 20-year-olds don't worry about that stuff because they're just going out there and they're doing stuff. It's like, hey, it's all for the first time. But as we get, you know, later in life, we get boxed in because we can't, you know, look bad or look stupid or make a mistake. And, man, we just helped her so get freed up. That she's, you know, kind of all over the board trying out different things, looking to see what gels. Given that she doesn't have to do anything, she can really look to see where does her spirit get lit up when she's participating in things. So I think doing what Trish said and just start doing some experiments with the idea of play first. Don't worry about thinking you have to know it all or be able to dot every I or cross every T or get it right the first time. Give yourself some time to play the field, you know?
Yes,
I hope
yes,
that helps.
Yes. We love playing the field.
I bet you do.
Thanks so much for your question, and because I know other people are thinking exactly what you're saying. So I appreciate you, you know, coming out and sharing what's on your mind.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right, our next caller is someone I think you'll know. Hello, Miss Sandra Hainsworth, yes? Sandra, is your phone on mute?
So sorry. Just talking up a storm there. Chris, I am so grateful that you have Daryl on because I would have never met him and Alexandra without you. So it was at a time in my life where you said, jump, do this, and I trusted and allowed. And I ended up on this beautiful experience of getting to play and communicate with you and Alexandra and Trish for an entire week. It was amazing.
We love it so much, WPN. We're doing another one in August. So if anybody's interested in this amazing experience that we all had in the mountains of San Diego, make sure you email me, trish@womensprosperitynetwork.com, and I'll tell you all about it. It was awesome. We got to meet each other, hang out, do things that pushed us past our boundaries. It was great. But I digress because I got so excited about you being online.
No, I love that you shared that because it was a point in my life where I was having the inkling, like that little, you know, whisper that you get of, it's time to put you on your own to-do list. And I brought this up to you, Trish, and you're like, hey, this is what you need to do. And I jumped in, and that bus ride on the way to that event was phenomenal because we switched off seats between Daryl and Alexandra, and I got to know her really, really well before I got to know you, Daryl. And what I found so beautiful is you guys talk the talk and walk the walk. And watching you two together at the point you are in your life with such intense passion for communicating well with each other, you know, physically, verbally, and so forth. But we shared something on the bus ride there, and I asked you that day, how do you stay inspired to keep your relationship going? What makes you guys tick? Because clearly you guys figured it out, and it was a long journey to get there, and I don't want to, you know, necessarily go there, but it was a beautiful message of what you shared with me that I really identified with and have shared many times with others.
What would you remind me?
You guys work daily on your communication and what gives you joy and happiness.
Oh, sure.
And you find new ways to spice things up. And I got to see that in action between karaoke and just being spontaneous with each other's feelings and emotions. It was beautiful to watch. It was a love story in action. And I do think that you represent so well what can be possible.
Mm. Thank you. You were the one that said that comment, by the way, when you came up and you said, watching you watching you two gives me hope. It was like, oh, we've remembered that comment ever since.
Yep.
It was beautiful to see.
Thank you, Sandra. You're a blessing.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sandra, for being with us tonight. And thank you for who you are in this community. We love you.
I'm thrilled to be here, and thank you, Daryl, for showing up as a bright light to so many, and Alexandra, too.
Thank you, Sandra.
You guys teamed up with individual passions, and together you boomed a much bigger dream that creates a ripple effect for so many. So thank you.
Awesome. Have a good night, Sandra.
Thank you.
Awesome. Got time for one more, and I think this is Victoria.
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm good, and I'm so glad to be here. I've been moving, so I've missed a few weeks of calls.
Where are you moving to?
Just to a new house in the same area in Western Massachusetts, in Florence, Massachusetts.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So I had no idea from the back 40 what the phone call would be tonight, Daryl, and I just knew it was a good thing to call. And right away, as soon as you said, started talking about the past and maybe it was something that happened when you were 12 years old, I thought, yeah, I was definitely supposed to be here. So I'm 62 and I start crying. Almost 50 years ago on February 21st, I woke up at 2 in the morning and my family's house was burning down. So I was 12 years old. And I've done lots and lots of work. Everybody got out except for myself and my brother. And my father found me unconscious and threw me out of a second-story window and didn't find my little four-year-old brother. I've done a lot of work on that. And had just beautiful support at different points in my life. And this did help me find my work because I had a lot of pain and have lost my ability to walk many times, and amazingly, miraculously, I feel like angels carried me down that night because I didn't break anything. I was burned and had smoke inhalation and pneumonia, but really unhurt physically compared to what it could have been. And but it's still, this is the 50th anniversary. It was 1967 coming up, and I'm arranging for things. I'm having a chant and meditation in my home a few days later, and you know, and I'm just still so interested how it catches me, how it trips me up, and maybe it's okay to always grieve on some level. And I think part of the loss is that my family didn't talk about it. You know, the phrase in my family is "you just move on." You just move on. So I don't even know what I'm wanting to say to you, but I just wanted to connect and hear any of your wisdom. I guess. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Victoria. And you know, this will sound crazy, okay? And I don't want you to take it that I'm being light. I, you know, when Christina, you know, asked me, how do you do this? And I kind of walked through this process. I just want you to know that this work that we do around the past and the present is really geared to set you up. And again, this will sound crazy, that you could actually be grateful. That what if you could actually, you know, one day be completely grateful, like it was the best thing that it could have ever happened. Now, again, I'm not saying that you can even get there right now, right? Because obviously this is a horrible thing, and it's shaped your life. And it is getting to that kind of place, however, where you can so be clear of the blessings and so be clear of the self-expression directives, like had this thing not occurred, you know, you wouldn't have experienced or gotten the blessings and what came about through this. And so I guess what I'm just going to say is, first off, just thanks for sharing it, because you bring it home. It's one thing to talk about this stuff theoretically. It's another thing to bring it home. You know, one of the people in one of our courses, you know, lost her son in Afghanistan. And so, it totally shaped her. I mean, she let her body, she let, you know, everything about her just fall apart. And, you know, by her being able to kind of really go around, and again, you can't ever say losing your son is the best thing you ever happened to you. Okay, so again, none of this stuff we're saying, you know, this is a model. Okay, this isn't true. It's a model. But it is a way to get on the other side of something that could leave someone a victim forever, okay? And so all I'm saying is, you know, and please do plug in with us. And maybe there's something, you know, in this work. I mean, my book will be coming out in the next couple, you know, few months. But there's just something here that I think, if you've been working on this, and it sounds like you're on top of it, I mean, you're planning the chant, you're planning a very spiritual process, that's ownership, you know, that's honoring the event, but not being a victim to it, right? And it sounds like you're very powerful in the face of it, and all I'm saying is that, you know, there may be another little piece that we can find in there at some point that really flips you completely over on this thing, like, what if it was the best thing that could ever happen? And again, it's crazy for me to say that. You lost your 4-year-old brother and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying there's a mindset in there, though, that can direct you and can empower you. Please plug in with us.
No, thank you. I already have on the internet.
Okay, cool. Wonderful.
Yeah, I feel like the 50th anniversary is like the time to move through it in a different way. And, you know, I'm not where I can say it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I feel like I could never speak with my siblings about that, because I have four siblings and my mother's still alive. But, you know, I mean, there's many tragedies all the way around, but I also know that everything happens for the best. And, But it's to really embody that is another thing.
Yeah, don't go talking this stuff outside of this call because, you know, I don't talk this stuff until people ask me because, again, this is a model. And, yeah, you wouldn't go say it's the best thing that ever happened. And if you're free in March, I don't know if you could – we're going to do a three-day infused program in March. We're going to do another one the first weekend of May. I don't know if there's a way you could get out here. Love to support you in this. And, again, I hear you're being healthy about it, and you're right. Maybe at the 50th anniversary, this is the time to really, you know, own this once and for all. I won't say complete it, but to own it.
Yeah, thank you, Carol.
Yeah, and like
thank you.
What you do, Victoria, for people with pain in their bodies, that's what this program does for people with pain like that we've been carrying. So it's, I'm glad that you both connected with each other.
Thank you,
Victoria.
Have a great night, Victoria. Thank you so much for being so vulnerable and sharing your story with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all you're doing, and I appreciate this opportunity.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Oh, gosh. Daryl, you know, sometimes it's, you know, the right word, the right phrase, and you can make a difference for someone. Isn't that what it's all about? And I know that you did that this evening, not just for Victoria or Christine, but for everybody who's on the line. You know, we all have the rest of our lives to look forward to. Every single one of us has the rest of our lives ahead of us. And no matter where you are or where you've come from, the bad stuff can be that ticket for you and your next level. So definitely plug into my good friend and his business, theback40.com. Go to theback40.com/free, F-R-E-E, and 40 is spelled out, F-O-R-T-Y, and get your free gift. I love the top 10 tips for life's radical second half. And also the book, The Birth of the Back 40, it really will show you the mission that Daryl is on and Alexander is on. So wonderful having you with us this evening. Also, make sure you go to Amazon. Daryl's a multi-published author. He keeps talking about his upcoming book as if he's not already an author many times over. So definitely check out his Amazon profile as well. He's got tons of great stuff in there for you. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Trish. I just love any time we get to spend together.
Me too. Gotta see you. And I'll be seeing you before you know it in the California Women's Conference, perhaps in May. Are you going to be there?
Hey. Well, look. Are you going to come? We're going to do the Infused program the 5th, 6th, and 7th, right before the California Women's Conference on the 10th, and we're doing it the weekend before so that those who were part of the 30 Voices who are coming in for that anyhow can participate. I hope you're going to plan to come early so that you can participate in our program.
I just wrote it on my calendar, my friend. May 7th in, where am I going to be, Long Beach?
Long Beach. Well, we don't know the venue then, but it'll either be West LA or Long Beach. But, yeah, we'll be
somewhere
in this general area.
Somewhere in the
neighborhood.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, you just forced me to come to California for longer, so you'll just have to twist my arm. Oh, it hurts. Stop. Thank you so much. I'll get to visit you and all my California buddies. So thanks
exactly.
So much again for being with us. You made a difference for everyone on the call, and you made a difference for me. I appreciate you so much. Thank you all
right back
for
at
being
you.
With us. Yeah, right back at you. And thank you all for being with us tonight, for spending your evening on a Wednesday night with us. And whatever you're doing, make the rest of your evening a wow Wednesday evening. Take care, everybody.